ยบุครอสพอยต์เมียนแบทิสจิวปังอะเฮยจิปเมียนมัวแต่ปัวจางทินหงบัวออยปัวจางทินหงยมบัวเปล่ายจุงยมบัวฝงหอกเงยยมบัวหมวงไหฉะเอยโตเวนายบัวเจียกรเบ่นบุญยศินบุญยเฮลบุญยลิงวนอย่าโทษสิงลิงเจ้าฟินแซงเจ้าบัวโทษสิงลิงต่อโตโตเนี่ยเมียนโตจ่ากิงโซไม้เพียนอย่าไม้เพียนเจียวเนี่ยว่าโทษสิงลิงปุ่นหมวงเนี่ยเมียนให้จิบตุตรงทิ้นหงอ่อยเนี่ยบัวหิวเนี่ยอย่าโทษสิงลิงต่อบัวหายเนี่ยเปียเท้าบุญยเฮลเวบัวตุโหตุหิวตุหายลิวเจียนโตบัวให้เสียนวนเยซูกิตูให้ต้อนี้ว่ามิงลงตู้หอบเยี่ยมบัวเนี่ยแมงเวยปุ่นบัวก้าวให้หิวนินก้าวให้ห้ำนินก้าวให้เอนินเยี่ยมบัวเนี่ยแมงบัวจีกรเป่าจงเชงถิ่นหงหรืออย่าลมจ้อยจวงเจนคอยบุญเหี้ยวตายหมวงนินเนี่ยเป่าเต่าคู่เฟียน
I don't know. Roma Bay. Hãy subscribe cho kênh Ghiền Mì Gõ để không bỏ lỡ những video hấp dẫn. เจ้าอ่ะยุ่งอยู่เสียยำเจ้าตายอีบัวมาแม่งเจียงมาเจียเท้าอย่าเจ้าเนี่ยเองเจ้าอ่ะไม่เก่งมาหลิงมาช้าอีบัวหั่งติดจุงก้องนอเจ้าเก่งตรงวัวจอยโฮให้เนี่ยเองอีบัวจริงแม่งไม่อยากปุยบัวให้หมั่งตุ๊บปวดอีบัวต้องเกี้ยวไม่อยากปุยบัว hai lo tu bọ giao mình giao nhật trẻ giao nhật cha gì bùa nhúng nhúng giao mà nhẹ nhàng lặng kinh hồ hải trái hải và thôi giao thiên hùng nhúng nhúng lành chính giao chữ cầu bùa hoài kiến hoài muôn kiến muôn bùa mà mạnh giang sẽ giao nhẹ yên sẽ kinh lành chính và giang thảo giao thiên hùng nhẹ nam nhiều giao mà chế tạo kinh kiếm chủ giao nhẹ địa sai trở đối bằng long tiến chia sẻ na yao sinh ni minh zao jiao ye gong zhen dai ni ya nang long ning gong mun tuo jiao tin hong bu nin hai tu long ya ma jie tao ye nai fei gui tao bu ni huang toi fei pue cha ke ni ton bu ya keng qiam zu jiao tin hong on yao ya zao ni wei bang mai nai mu cha fam jie benjamin nhà mà chế tàu miền cổ miền con thảo nó vừa bà chiếu hữu dịnh chiếu à nay các nhà nào các nhà miền nó vừa kinh kiếm chủ chiếu nhà cha gì nó vừa cho nó bị bệnh nhà cháu phê yếu vừa phê gì vừa chiếu à yên hoài nét chết bị phẳng vốn hữu con nó vừa nhìn hoang tỏi kiếm chủ hân nhung chiếu cần hữu dịnh thốt chiếu thì nông thành nó vừa gì nó vừa nhung nhung sẽ chiếu nhà cha chiếu nhà trẻ gì thành như bùa xử lý chiếu như bùa sẽ cả tàu truy miền là những hai diều làn làn hai thành làn và được tàu chiếu thì nung như bùa hai chọn kiến cấp kiến thôn hàng thôn chiếu thì nung như sinh linh nhỉ thành kiến tàu chân cổ bùn in tăng mà cha mà chiếu như thông mình thành kiến bùn in giàu như hai on tuy bùa mày tàu miền sẽ chào na lùng đi chia nom tong pun hai thing tu chia wa leng ching o teng yi su ni bu na tao kao amen.
This morning I'm going to talk a little bit about desiring God's word. I will try to keep it as brief but complete as possible. So if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 are your devices, however you choose to get God's word. And so let me just read these three verses in order that you might have them in mind as we discuss them. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisies and envies and all slander, like newborn babes, long for pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Genuine godliness is always marked by a love for and a delight in God's word. Jesus said that he who is of God hears God's word, and the word hears means to obey. It's like the Shema, you know, to obey, hear and obey. In the same chapter, John 8, Jesus said that the true believer keeps God's word. Paul expressed this love for the delight in the word of God, and it is characteristic of the heart of the believer when he said in Romans 7:22, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Job in the Old Testament, chapter 23, verse 12, said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The psalmist said in the very first psalm that the godly man is blessed because his delights in the law of the Lord and his law he meditates day and night. It was likely David that wrote in Psalm 19, who said that the word of God is more desirable than gold, even much finer than gold, is sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Again, Psalm 40 in verse 8, the psalmist expresses the cry of the godly. I delight to do the will of God. Your law is within my heart. All of these and many more, including Jeremiah 15:16, where Jeremiah says, your words were found and I did eat them, and your word was in me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Point out that this characteristic of a believer to delight in the word of God, perhaps the richest text points this out in Psalms 119. I need to refresh my mind on that because this is a repeated theme in Psalm 119. Just listen to several of the verses in the psalm. Verse 16 says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Verse 24 says, your testimonies also are my delight. Verse 35, make me walk in the paths of the commandments, for I delight in it. Verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. Verse 48, I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better than to me than the thousands of golds and silver pieces. And 92, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affection. And then beginning in verse 97, the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. And I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself has taught me how sweet your word is to my taste. And there's that connection with the word being food to our souls. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Then in verse 111, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. And verse 113 says, I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. And then verse 127 says, therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. And verse 159, consider how I love your precepts. And then verse 167, keep my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. And then verse 174 finally says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, that your law is my delight. So let me ask you a question. Do you love the word? Do you love the law? Is that how you feel in your hearts? And do you find your heart crying out, oh, how I love your law? Is this law of God your delight, more precious than any silver or precious than any gold? I want us to think about these questions because that is the question that is behind the text that is before us. Peter says, like a baby desires milk, so you should desire the word. In a sense, he's echoing the cry of the psalmist. There is to be in the heart of the believer the love of the law of God. This love for delight in the literal cravings to know the word of God is Peter's theme in our text. Now you will remember that Peter is here concluding a series of exhortations. These exhortations are built as a response to salvation, which was the theme in the first 12 verses of chapter 1. After having outlined salvation, he then says that there are three responses. The first response is verse 13 through 21, is a response towards God. And what is our response toward God? Primarily to be holy. He says, be holy. In response to the gift of salvation towards God, we should be holy. And then, what is our response towards others? Verse 22 and 20 through 25 is love. Our response to salvation towards others is to love them, those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then thirdly, what is your response to ourselves? Toward God, it is holiness. Towards others, it is love. Towards ourselves, there should be the responding desire for the word of God. It should be a dominating driving force in the life of every believer. And yet, I think you will acknowledge with me that in many of our lives, there's lacking that kind of desire. Some of us can go day after day, week after week, and seemingly demonstrate no delight in, no love for, no craving to study the Word of God. And thus, this exhortation from Peter becomes very important to us. Look with me for a moment at verse 2. The emphasis there comes in the statement, long for the pure milk of the Word. Long for the pure milk of the word. Long for is a command. And it is a term intensely of intensity. It means to crave. It means to desire strongly. It is an intense, compelling craving. I wish we could translate the actual verse, crave for the pure milk of the word, and we shall see and perhaps even better way to translate that for the in the moment. It's talking about craving. Peter says, you are to crave. You are to have an intense desire for what? Well, he says, for something pure. Long for the pure, he says. And what does he mean? That which is unadulterated, which is uncontaminated. And by the way, that's the term used very often in the Greek language to refer to farm products, interestingly enough. And it's used in reference to pure corn, pure grain, pure wine, pure oil. And in this case, it is used to speak of what? Pure milk. Pure milk, uncontaminated milk. We are to long for something that is pure, something that, like the milk, is the source of life, a source of sustenance, something that is like milk, is pure and clean. Milk, as it comes out of a mother's breast, is pure and uncontaminated. And so Peter says we are to crave something pure like milk. To sum it up, Peter says, you are to have a craving for the Word of God, the pure spiritual milk, as it were, that flows from the breast of the Word of God, unadulterated, uncontaminated, unsustained, untainted, desire the Word. Now, Peter does not say read the Word. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 4:13. Peter does not say study the Word. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 2:15. And Peter does not say meditate on the Word, as Joshua 1:8 puts it. Peter does not say teach the Word, as 1 Timothy 4:11 commands. Peter does not say preach the Word, as 2 Timothy 4:2 enjoins. Peter does not say search the Word, as we see illustrated by the Bereans in Acts 17:11. And Peter does not even say hide the Word, as the psalmist does in 119:11. All of these things are very important, but there are something even more basic than that. Before you can read it, study it, meditate on it, then teach it, preach it, search it, and hide it, you have to do what? You have to desire it. This is the basic thing. This is foundational. And Peter gives us a very good analogy, a very graphic analogy. He says, long for the pure milk of the word, and the analogy is like a baby longs for milk. Physical birth brings the little one into the world, and the great need of that little one is for feeding on milk. So in the spiritual realm, we are to so singly minded as to crave the passions for the Word of God. So it is a magnificent series of exhortations here in response to salvation, beginning back in verse 13 of chapter 1. In response to salvation, to be holy towards God. In response to the salvation, love your brother and sister. In response to salvation, crave the Word. And let me tell you, those three things sum up Christian living. Be holy towards God, love your brother and sister, and crave the Word. That is the challenge of Christian living. You sum it up right there. Peter has really wrapped it up. You say, what are the major elements of the Christian life? Holiness towards God, love towards the brethren, personal hunger for the Word. Now, I'm sure that we need to stop at this point and ask whether we have such a craving. Are we all craving that same Word? And are we honest enough to ask that question and then answer it in our hearts? Do we crave the Word of God like a baby does milk? Do we hunger for it? Is it to the point where if you do not have it every day, that there's emptiness in your heart? If the answer is yes, you're on track with the right response to salvation. But I'm sure in many cases, if we're honest, the answer is not always. How can that happen? How can I get to a place where I crave pure milk? I think one of the ways it happens is because we're too busy eating junk food being disseminated out of the pulpits, through books, through the society that we live in, junk food on television, junk food in every which way we turn, junk food in magazines, newspapers, some of it secular, some of it supposedly Christian. Until we have literally jaded ourselves with junk food that is falsely satisfied our spiritual appetites without nourishing us at all. It's empty, empty food. How do we get back to the place where we desire to put spiritual milk of the Word, where the Bible study is not a duty, where Bible study is not a chore, where Bible study is not something we do out of fear that God will punish us if we don't, but where we delight for it in our heart, where we look for it every day? We can be practical and say, you can tell somebody who is a faithful student of the Word of God. Usually you see them with the same Bible. When you see that, see people, and every time you see them, or frequently when you see them, they have another Bible. It's as if they pull one off the shelf periodically to come to church. And when you see a person who has the Word of God in their hands, and it's obvious that they have spent a great amount of time in that very one Bible, there's a sense in which you know where their heart is, because you become very attached to, almost in a strange way, the book itself, which contains the Word that feeds your soul. That's not always true, but it's nice to see a well-worn Bible in the hands of someone. Occasionally, there's a new Bible in your hand because you wore that other one out. The question is then, how can we develop that craving? And I want to give you some principles, and I just will have a little bit of time this morning to lay them out for you. Principle number one is, this is to help you develop a craving for the Word of God. And if you have not that craving, here's what Peter suggests. Number one, remember your life source. Remember your life source. If you're not craving the Word of God, you have forgotten something. Yes, you have forgotten something. You say, well, where does it say that? What's the first word in verse 1? What is it? Therefore. You say, you're going to find something in that? That's right. In that one word exists the whole point. What do you mean, therefore? Well, it builds on just what happened in the preceding paragraph. The word of the Lord abides forever. Verse 25, this is the word which was preached to you, therefore. What do you mean, Peter? I mean, listen to this little word, therefore, accumulates tremendous richness and meaning because of everything that adheres to it. It reaches back to verse 23, the living, abiding word of God by which you have been born again. What is the single greatest miracle that ever happened in your life? What is it? It's your new birth. It's your transformation of your life, and your eternal destiny was a miracle worked through the Word of God, which is living and abiding, which is preached to you and by which you were saved. And so Peter is saying, therefore, long for the pure milk, spiritual milk of the Word. And here's the point. Since the living and abiding eternal Word of God, follow this, was the power that transformed your life. Since this living and abiding Word brought you new life, transformed you, saved you, since God's creative grace worked by the Word, which was the seed that gave you life, since the Word is your life source, since the Word is the power of your new existence, he says, therefore, long for it, desire it. Why? As the source of your continued transformation, your continued power. It has transformed you in the beginning, and it will keep transforming you to the very end. Have you forgotten your life source? That word, therefore, is a reminder to all of us to remember the life source. If you don't desire the Word, you have forgotten the power of the Word of God in your life. Are you going to live the Christian life without the Word of God? Have you forgotten that it was powerful enough to save you, transform you, and give you a new life, and totally change your very nature? And are you going to take the powerful Word and set it aside? The Word is the seed that gives you life. That's why Philippians 2:16 calls it the Word of Life. It's alive, it's powerful, and it gives life. Isaiah 55, wonderfully, does the prophet testify to the power of the Word of God in verse 10 and 11, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and make it bear and sprout and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. The word is powerful, alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, says Hebrews 4:12. Do you remember back in John's Gospel the marvelous teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the 15th chapter, we're teaching on the vine and the branches. He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the word that gives life. We are saved by faith, and faith comes by hearing the word of Christ." Romans 10:17. "These things are written," John 20:31, "that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name." The word is a spiritual, inexhaustible, inextinguishable life source. It gave you new life. It gave you new love. It gave you a thrilling, glorious, marvelous, fulfilling, joyous, full life of hope, peace, and grace, and forgiveness and power. So you mean to tell me you're going to set all that aside? You should crave that word, an inherent power to it that continues to transform your life. "The law of the Lord is perfect," Psalm 19, verse 7, "converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes." The word is just as powerful in your life today as it was when you were first converted. And if you want to have a desire for the word, then go back and remember your life source is the word. It is your life source. Will you turn back on that, the greatest power which you possess? In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the writer says, "For this reason, we are also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." Listen to this, "which also performs its work in you who believe." If you're a Christian, you believe it will perform a work in you. There are a lot of Christians crumbling, a lot of Christians roaming around wondering why their Christian life isn't all that it ought to be, and they have no craving for the word of God. Therefore, they are never put in touch with the power of that word, the power that changes their life. So if you look at your heart and you don't have that craving, then remember your life source. And that ought to make you crave the word, because its power is still available and able to perform in you, those who believe. The second principle is eliminate sin in your life. Verse 1 says, "putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisies and envies and all slander." The Greek word here means to reject. It's part of the longing for the word means putting aside. It comes out of as a command. It's rightly translated that way. Putting aside, laying aside. It can be used to refer to stripping off dirty clothes, stripping off soiled garments. That's its intent. You have to get rid of something in your life. It's used in Colossians 3:8 where it says, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth, and do not lie to one another, and so forth. Put it all aside. Get rid of the sin. In early Christian baptisms, when people came to be baptized, it was customary to take the clothes they wore when they arrived and throw them away after they came out of the baptism, to give them new robes as a symbol of the newness of life. It was a custom to symbolize the truth that is in salvation. The old is put off and the new is put on. And how important is it that we maintain that? So says Peter, "in the light of the new life begun, in the light of the new love given, these ugly hindrances hanging over from your past need to be eliminated." And I'll tell you something, as someone said to me a long time ago, they wrote it in one of my Bibles as a kid, "sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book until you eliminate the hindrances." Five of them are named: malice, all malice, which is the basic Greek word for evil. It just means wickedness, general wickedness. It's an all-inclusive word, evil, wickedness, baseness. Some have suggested its meaning is disgracefulness or good-for-nothingness, wickedness, just general persuasive malignancy of the flesh, out of which all other evil emerges as to be eliminated. What do you mean by that? By eliminating that, you just confessed and repented. Second thing, all deceit, not just some malice, but all of it. The word deceit originally meant fishhook, Greek for deceit. A fishhook is a very deceitful thing. You put bait on it, a fish thinks he's going to get dinner, and then he becomes dinner. It's very deceitful. Deceit is what it means: deception, dishonesty, falsehood, seduction, and treachery. Hypocrisy, spiritual phoniness. Originally, the word meant an actor who wore a mask, not real, not genuine. Envies, wanting others to have, resenting their prosperity and being blessed, leads to grudges, bitterness, hatred, conflict, ugly sin. And then he says for the third time, all slander, all malice, all deceit. Then he put in hypocrisies, envies, both of them are in the plural. And then he says, all slander. This is backbiting, talk, gossip, defamation, disparagement, malicious talk behind someone's back. We've got to put it away, and we all have seen examples of that. Evil leads to deceit because when you're evil, you want to deceive people. Deceit leads to hypocrisy. Hypocrisy leads to envy of the genuine, and that leads to the slander of others. This would be the very opposite of brotherly love. Brotherly love wouldn't be malice. Brotherly love wouldn't be deceitful, and brotherly love wouldn't be hypocritical, envious, or slanderous. Get the trash out of your life, Peter says. Strip off the filthy rags. Now he only gives five things here, and they're really only representative of all of the evil. The first word would have been enough, all malice. This covers all the ground. Get rid of it, strip it off, deal with it, confess it, repent it, eliminate it. It needs to go out of your life. If you're going to have an appetite for the precious milk, the pure milk, the spiritual milk, the Word of God. Thirdly, not only does Peter say, remember your life source, eliminate your sin, but thirdly, if you have to desire the Word of God that is compelling and intense, you must admit your need. You must admit that you need the Word. I love this in the verse 2, that like newborn babes, the word babes here means newborn. It means a breastfeeding infant, and it was only used as long as a child nursed at his or her mother's breast. It means the smallest child. That baby comes out, and the first thing that baby wants is the breast of his mother. And that's the only craving it has. Why? Because that's the profoundest and the only need. Peter says it's that you should be characterized, your desire to read the Word, to get into the Word. You cry out if you can't get it, you long for it. A baby has one God-given instinct, one great craving. It's milk. And if he doesn't get it, he gets upset. Every believer, whether he's in a new convert or an old convert, whether he's young in the faith or mature in the faith, every believer is to crave the Word. Whether it is the simple part or the profound way that the baby craves the milk, the analogy of the craving, not in the nature of the milk or in the nature of the baby in that sense. It's just a graphic, simple analogy. As the newborn baby craves the milk, he needs it. So the believer must crave the Word he needs. Don't ever get to a place where you think you don't need it. Three times the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You never attain to that. You spend your life pursuing every word out of the mouth of God. The baby cries in the infancy because it wants milk. It needs nourishment, and the believer should have that same cry. But as I said before, so many Christians have been stuffed with junk food that they've lost their appetite without ever being nourished, and they would have no appetite for spiritual milk of the Word. We have a desperate need. We have so many weak Christians, so many weak churches. Rampant spiritual malnourishment today reflects junk food and rejection of the pure spiritual milk. We desperately need nourishment of the Word of God. Some people read the Bible, but they don't read it for nourishment. Some read it traditionally because their parents read it and they think they should read it. Some read it superstitiously, like a religious charm, thinking it will work magic in their lives. And some read it educationally. They want knowledge of the facts. They want to compile information so they can have fun at a Christian Bible study. Some people read it denominationally. They want to defend their articles of faith. It is for the purpose of proof and refutation that they want to read it. And some people read it professionally. They want material for their lessons or their sermons. How should it be read? It should be read like a hungry baby sucking with all its strength to draw out the nourishment of its mother's breast. That's how it ought to be read. If you want to develop a craving, remember your life source is there. Eliminate your sin and admit your need. You're being malnourished spiritually, and it's going to show up in your life. A person's life usually can tell you whether a person is craving the Word of God. The fourth principle is pursue your growth. Pursue your growth. Verse 2 says that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Pursue your growth. This is the main issue here. You need to be fed because you need to do what? You need to grow. So tragic is to see human beings that does not grow. They're malnourished, distended, weak human beings. And it's just as tragic, if not more, to see spiritual life like that. If you're content with where you are spiritually, you'll never pursue your growth. But if you're discontent, you will. Spiritual growth rises out of discontentment. Did you get that? There's a very important principle. Spiritual growth rises out of discontentment. Lord, deliver me from ever being satisfied with where I am spiritually. Oh, blessed discontent that propels me to spiritual growth. 2 Corinthians 3:18 reminds us, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of the one level of glory to the next by the Holy Spirit. We want to remind ourselves that what we want to be transformed from one level of glory to the next, to the next, and to the next. As we gaze into the Word of God, we see the glory of the Lord. His Spirit will transform us from one level to the next, and that rises out of the discontentment and where we are. Paul says, I haven't arrived, Philippians 3. I haven't arrived. I press towards the mark. You say, Paul is the best Christian that ever lived. I'm not there. I press. I want to know him more fully. Blessed discontent. Listen, you're in a real spiritual danger if you're content with your spiritual progress. That's the serious place to be. So if you're saying that if you're saying in your heart, preacher, I don't have the craving for God's word, let me suggest that you remember your life source. Have you forgotten the power that's there that you're ignoring? Secondly, eliminate the sin. Confess, repent. Thirdly, admit your need. You're malnourished if you're not in that book. You're going to be weak and ineffective and unhappy. And fourthly, pursue your growth. Don't ever let yourself be content. Let me tell you, something one of the biggest lies Satan will ever give you is that you've arrived spiritually. And when you believe that, you probably will believe it came from God, and that it's accommodation. It isn't. It's a deception. So pursue your growth. Fifth and finally, if you want to develop a craving for the Word of God, survey your blessings. Verse 3, he says, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. What does this mean? What does he mean by that? It means since, excuse me, it means since or because. Because you've tasted is based on Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What is he saying? He's saying this. If you have in the past tasted in your own personal experience the kindness, the goodness, the grace of the Lord, and if you know how good it was and how wonderful it tasted and how blessed it was, then don't you crave it more? The more of God's goodness you enjoy on your spiritual palate, the greater you will be craving for more. It's like those real good candies that you once start that you can't finish them. You have tasted the goodness of the Lord? You say, yes, at my salvation I tasted it, and I've learned what Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, and I remember the truths of the psalmist, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I remember the sweetness of my salvation, and I remember the times of God's answered prayer, and I remember the time he touched my life with his kindness and his mercy. I remember all the good things. I've tasted so many. Listen, survey your blessings, friend. And if you tasted already the kindness of the Lord, wouldn't you like some more? Wouldn't you like some more? And wouldn't you want to do what Jeremiah said? Find the word and eat it, and find it to the taste that you thought it was always, and it will become the joy and rejoicing of your heart. I never come out of a time in the study of the Word of God without, an exhilarating heart. Oh God, what a blessing. And I tell you, the frustrating of a preacher is I struggle to communicate with you or anybody else in words what I feel the exhilaration of the study of God's Word. You want to develop an appetite for the Word. You want to crave the Word. These are the principles. Very simple ones. Really very simple. Just remember your life source. Remember the power that's there. Eliminate your sin. Remember your need. Admit it, that you need to be nourished. Pursue your growth. And don't believe the devil's lie that you've arrived. And count your blessings. Recount, rehearse all the time you taste the kindness of the Lord. Do you want it again? There are these things that will bring back the craving. My prayer is that you'll take these steps. Join me in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our time this morning in your word. I would pray any in our congregation, Lord, who are starving themselves because there is no desire for the word. Lord, help them. Help them remember to reach back and remember their life source. Help them to eliminate their sin. Help them, Lord, to admit their need, to pursue their growth, to rehearse their blessing. Give them a desire for your word. And may they, like David, say, oh, how I love your law. And the Lord for all of us, give us a greater love for your word. May it be more precious to us than fine gold, sweeter than honey. May it be more desired than our necessary food. You have exalted it above your name. It holds us all treasures. May we not believe the lies that would divert us from it. And let us affirm a new commitment to begin to cultivate a craving for your word. And may we glorify you in everything that we do, Lord. Amen. Thank you. And may God bless and keep you.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to translate, okay? So I took some notes. Okay. You hear to Nikon wa? Mà xong nhân vốn bị nhau về phan thất tiên tôi về phía chỗ nó ta thì hết nọ nên chỉ còn những con như thế mà xăm như ở chụp băng xăm mà xăm như xin thành hôn miền nhan ngõm hải hồ yếm bên xem phim với sự vốn hải hồ yếm xem phim sẽ với sự hát tiêu sau nên nhé tech này nick kinh số và ý đom sẽ yếm thì hết pc tên nhì sang thì hết pc tên nhì sang lưu tên nhì yếm mấy bữa ở sườn hang số hồ xuất xe như quả I hope nyo no chan san I hope liu yung ling wan ye ching jing nyo may bo jiao hai ho hai tu jiao okay and liu ni nai te a wa nai bo ni gong bo mai hiao lo ngo a chan san jim tin hun ye wa ni fai ni gong a zut the yet a zut chang chen tin hun ye wa se bo ni yung mai ni one thing or the ha chamba pao jung na tin hung se ni 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 wa ni ni tin hung ni a lay fight tin hung ni chao na say yung mang what okay and liu tin hung ni wa say pon bun ye mang hai mai hang but tu bu hi tu tin hung kwang bun ye sui bu hai mai bang on say yim tin hung ni wa by hi tu nai tin hung ni wa ya ching zeng ni ya dong ho jie my heart ma ya dong pure the hang work bo gong what nyan wa nyan fa chem a sing ye tien ne ne mai hang gong wa kan yong ta chop ne tin hon ye wa stay pure ne a le ne gong ma sam ne bo sin tin hon mien bo bo mi tu gong bo ni mang khung cha bo ni hai bo ni mang hai ha chang ne mai sui ne chao hang ya hai ha chang mai moi mpa bo yam locking so to ne bo bo ham bo nyan hang na wa chan ya chu nyan chen hang tham thau ti ton na bo nyan hnyo am palu bo tin hun ni wa na ma cham ni bo to tai hon hoi nyan nya bo to tai hon hoi ho ma te wa chung hit chim bo ni king so ha da chung ji bo zeng a bo zalem to ta khoi yo pya ho nya he ne ya ang na ka bo mai chang mang bo ai su ho say transform. So transformers So tin hung yewana transform bunye mang na hanonya bum pai kong in hyang wa hano ali tin hyang ya hano ali the farm hyang ya hano bum ho bunye sin fim ling one ho na bum pai nya so tin ye working so nya wa say yem lo ma jip ni chang tin ye yem ni kong pa mian so si my hop tin hung my tung swat nin bo ni nyung so mpa oi su pun tin hung koi zeng me bun in hyo chan ham ni chao tu siang nyung se thang na mai bua ha hiu tu tin hung ni sa a ha nyung se long ni tin hung an hai ni tin yu ni sa a so thang hai no bo hai mai koi yen ni mang so yen nyung bo hai mai koi yen ni mang se bo chu kwang ni kwang se han nyung bo chu kwang han ya so efeso the face sang a lit an ni chim ni yam ni kan thao oi chu kwang goi gan ni long mang okay getting rid of the old stuff gan ni long mang tong pun bo mei bua yem hang tin dang mei bua yem wen yong lo meng mei bua ni lo meng zu duo e kan ni hiao han so man man jiao wai zeng mia se gong bo gong bo mai guai yan ni meng tin hun bun bun ni xiang meng ba bo guang lo meng na bun ta bun hai ho ya bun ta zuo jin wan jiao han ya so bo bo zhe guang ni bu shi hai wo tin hun ni wa shi hai yan bi jiao So, I said, Guang Zeng, I'm yet soon sweet, I don't harm ya a seal newa. Okay. So, Buhang no, Hang Wang Guana, Yung Say Nikon Tao Hang, Guaka Jang Yung Swat and Nikwana, Guana Yun Yun, it was a Houston and it was a Hope Yaw. So, never Hope Yaw, never touch a lawn and yawn ya. Bush into whom men never, as you hang on, the Guana, Kun Bu, Sent on Halam, but when you, Bunin Hill, never was at the dance and got into whom you are. Okay. And Liu King So Yem Matai the face down Liu and the Fei Yem. Yesu Denai Chen or Yesu Kan Gong. King So Fi Chen Gong Mian Mai Se Kung Kao Nyan Ho Yung Meng Hang Mba Oi Su Kao Tin Hung Ni Gong Ni Jo Jo Wa. So Yem King So Na Ni Gong Bo Zun Bo Hai Yesu Kan An Long Te Wa Gong Tin Hung Ni Wa Gang Do Hai Chen or So In Hoi Ni Ni Zu Zun Gong So Ni Gong Tan Nai. And Liu Bo Hang Na Don't the yet but silenten hum but respond to salvation then yet was to be holy was to jiang xin zeng ye mang okay was to love god okay was to hamten hum but hamten hum na but ham ni wa but ham ni wa but ain ni wa
Yeah. Before we close in prayer, I want to say thank you so much for Elder Mike Woods for speaking to us and for exhorting us to continue to desire the Word of God and to follow Him. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have that we could fellowship together, that we could sing together, and that we could hear the message today. And I thank you for this opportunity that we have that we could be able to take these words that we've heard and to be able to apply them to our lives. And I pray that as we continue to follow you, that we desire you more and more each day. And pray for safety for everyone here. And in your name I pray, amen.